fight. Who is on Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Let's sing it now. Oh, yes, now. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Sing it, verse 4.
To God is granted all the praise and glory.
Hallelujah. Amen.
For he gave his son on Calvary to die.
Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad you're on the winning team tonight? You're led by a captain that's never tasted defeat. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it just good to be in the house of God tonight? What a privilege it is to be in service. We just had some glorious services last weekend, Brother David. What can you say about him? Somebody told me that they wanted to show a little bit more emotion when he preached. They thought he'd be all right. But he just blessed her heart, Brother David. We appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. And in service here Wednesday night, the word of the Lord was just so rich and so good. And I tell you what, it's untelling what we're going to hear tonight or what's going to happen. But aren't you glad to be part of it? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them welcome to Camp Meeting 2013. Play some more of that, guys, if you will. He loves to steal. Welcome to camp meeting, brother. God bless you. Welcome to camp meeting. Hey, get me a special for tonight. Get me a special song for tonight. Yeah. Get me a special for tonight. Get me a special song for tonight. You can sing. It won't be too special, but you can still sing. Oh, now, who is on who will help us join in the fight?
Who is on the Lord's side?
Oh, sing it like you believe it with all your heart.
Side of the
sing that chorus one more time. Oh, now who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight?
Who is on the Lord's side among you?
the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to look at our prayer request. I'll let you be seated for a few minutes if you want to do that. Brother Alan Price, the son of Brother Mike Price, is in Anchorage preaching tonight and needs prayer for a very sore throat. So let's just pray for our brother that the Lord would just give him voice to bring forth the word of the Lord. And I believe God's able to do that, don't you? Elise Hensley, 3-year-old, is sick tonight. May God bless you. Sister Stacy, Brother Matthew Hensley sends that in. So I want to pray for that child tonight. If you will, pray for Bob Blevins, my sister-in-law and Bob's wife. She had a heart attack on Thursday night, and she's in the hospital. I think they're going to keep her through tonight just to observe and make sure everything's okay. So if you would, remember her in prayer. Brother Baker offers this testimony tonight. We want to thank the Lord for healing. I was healed of vertigo and a very bad foot. Also, my wife was healed of her complications. To God be the glory. So we thank the Lord for that testimony. Here's another testimony. Sister Ann Shipley fell on July the 13th and broke her hip. She wants to thank Jesus Christ for being with her during the trauma. She came through the surgery just fine and is doing well. She wants to thank everyone for their calls, visits, and prayers during this difficult time. So we praise the Lord for being with her. May God just give her a speedy recovery. Very special unspoken prayer request for Brother Eugene and Sister Janet Kennedy tonight. The Lord knows all about that need. Here's a prayer request for Brother John Turner and his family. Brother John's sister passed away. They're asking that we would remember that family during this time, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Here's a request for George Decker, has bone cancer, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we believe we're serving a God that can certainly come on the scene. We've seen him do it time and time and time and time again. You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Terry, come, if you would. Lead us to the Lord on behalf of these requests. Let's invite his presence into this service. I believe we're going to have a great time here tonight. Amen. God bless you, buddy.
You know, for about 30 years, we would save our money and go down to the Ruth camp meeting once a year. That was, of course, a highlight of our year. So we just decided about 8 years ago, we just moved down here to the camp meeting. So we've just been having a camp meeting ever since. Really. We're blessed people. Take advantage of it. It won't always be this way. Let's enjoy it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to you, dear God, how thankful. Truly our hearts burn within us. We think about those that on the way to Emmaus and how that Jesus, you stepped out and talked with them, but their eyes were holding, that they couldn't see. But once that you did that miracle there and the revelation broke, how happy they were. I'm thankful, Lord, the revelation has broke to us and we can see really who is this Jesus Christ, taking sides with Jesus. And Lord, we think about that message that Brother Branham preached so many times, you know, we would see Jesus about 21 times or something like that. Lord, we've been privileged to see Jesus in this time, in this end time, because you promised that the Word would be made flesh, and we see that Word taking material, coming into your bride, making manifest what you've desired for all these many, many years. How thankful. We ask, Lord, that you would come among us. We ask, first of all, Lord, take the uppermost seat. As we would say, may we just forget about the things that we have done today, what perhaps we may do tomorrow, or even on the job Monday, but let's just concentrate on you tonight. May we have camp meeting. We ask that you would bless our pastor. I believe he's going to be speaking tonight. We pull on the gift of God. Lord, may our attention be upon the Word. May we evaluate ourselves. That's what we take our judgment here. We don't want to meet it on the other side at the white throne. We receive ours here. And Lord, whether you have to spank us and whip us and chastise us and mold us and make us and help us to learn of your Word, we want it right now. these requests, Lord, Brother Alan Price, be with him, touch his throat, make him well so he can minister the word of God. Each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, they've been read, Lord, and they have been heard on the hearts of the people. The unsaved loved ones perhaps been signified by a raised hand. We pray that you would brood over them, deal with their hearts, Lord. The hour is late. The time of redemption, the door may be closing any time. We don't know, but we know it's very, very soon. Once that door is closed, then those that be filthy still. Those that are holy, be holy still. Bless, Lord, your servant tonight. Anoint him to speak. Anoint us to hear. And may we say it's been good to be in the house of God when we leave tonight. And, Lord, for the next couple of hours, whatever it is, 3 or 4 hours, whatever you would have for us to be here, we want to be in your presence. Meet with us. Heal everyone. Touch everyone. Give grace tonight. We ask, Lord, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, and we'll thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, pray that God will bless those folks as well from around the world. Want to welcome some folks tonight. Sister Pretty from England and Sister Pascal from France. They're here visiting tonight. Where would those folks be? Would you just lift your hand so we can... Right over here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have you in the service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, let's sing a song tonight. You know what? Brother Terry mentioned in his prayer for the next ever how long the Lord has us here and in this service tonight and the services to come, should he tarry. We're getting ready for what's going to take place on the other side. And it ain't never going to end over there. The song that we're going to sing says 10,000 years. We'll just be getting warmed up. We'll just be getting started. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing about it tonight.
Soon I'll come to the end of life's journey. And I'll meet the one who gave his life for me. I want to thank him for the love that he gave me. And 10,000 years and more, I'll praise his name.
Oh, let's sing in that church. 10,000 years will just be started.
Just begun. The sweetest love story.
Hallelujah.
It is a song that holy angels cannot sing.
Just the redeemed are going to get to sing this one. Hallelujah.
I've been redeemed by the blood.
Praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight. I would not be denied. Amen. Satan will do everything in his power to tell you you're not loved. To tell you that God don't care nothing about you. But remember this, every time he opens his mouth, he's lying to you. Because God does love you. God does care for you. You think you got here by your own self? You think you got to where you are just because you got lucky? No, God had a plan for your life. I want to fulfill that plan, don't you? I want to not look at the negative, but I want to look at the positive. Wasn't that good? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. God took a picture, and I'm going to fulfill that picture, aren't you? When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried.
Satan said, I Oh, Satan said,
thank you, Lord.
He said our Lord,
amen,
was gone. And since 1965, he couldn't hear our prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord.
Tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Well, you're just singing so good tonight, but we've got to go on. Brother David, come tonight. You can be seated. Brother David's going to give us a song. Brother Harry's going to give us a song. And we'll just have two very unemotional guys sing for us tonight.
I thought I might sing it, Brother Louie asked us to. Well, he's the same God who spoke to the woman at the well. And he's the same God whose wonders are too many to tell. He's the same God who parted raging Red Sea. Yes, he's the same God that's living in me. As I look back on history, I see the mighty God unveiled, and he's proving over and over that his word, it has never failed. But I can't keep on dwelling on some past memories. 'Cause now that same God, he's living in me. Oh, he's the same God. All the heavens and the earth, he came back living in Jesus. Yes, there's power in his word. And now in these last days, I'm beginning to see. Yes, it's the same God. the same God who parted the raging Red Sea. Well, He's the same God, but He's living in me. I thought this verse needed another, I thought this song needed another verse, so I thought I'd sing it like this. Oh, He's the same God who cried, Sister Meany's great need, and He's the same God who created those squirrels in the tree. He's the same God that brought Hattie's voice to the need. Yes, He's the same God, but He's
Amen. Just before Brother Harry sings tonight, let's all stand while you sing your song as our pastor gets ready to come tonight and bring us the word of the Lord. Just want to say, I want you to pray for our pastor tonight. He preached here Wednesday night, not feeling the best in the world, but the Lord just really used our brother. And let's pray for his strength again tonight. God will just help him and anoint him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anoint our ears to hear. God bless you as Brother Harry sings tonight.
Well, I had a song that I've been singing a couple of days in the truck, so I guess I'll just let y'all hear it. I may not remember the words, but you may have heard the chorus. How many's come too far to look back? I have no desire to go back to Laodicea, Satan's Eden. I want to go home, where I really feel like home. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to love, they've all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my troubles are them at Calvary. That's where my new life began. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known, but I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. Turn around, don't look back. Face the new day before you. Turn around, don't look back again. Place your heartaches in Jesus. Place your heartaches in Jesus.
Jesus' hands, He can mend broken dreams. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valleys. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known.
Bridges are blowed up and all the roads have been destroyed, there ain't no way back. But if you've got bridges still hanging and roads still available, more than likely you will go back. Aren't you glad yours are all gone? Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would. Numbers chapter 16. Sounds like y'all are happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Worshiping, singing, praising. I love that, don't you? Amen. Come together in His presence. Numbers chapter 16. For some time I've been praying and talking to the Lord and just trying to have some understanding of where we are in time and in the message. And been wondering about folks that are leaving, and that's pretty common to leave, but for some, the way they are leaving, to badger, humiliate, criticize, run down, talk about, all that sort of thing. I've been praying and praying and just asking the Lord, Lord, is there been something like this before? Has it been before? Help me to see, just for me, to be able to know where we are. And and some time ago, I think I shared it with Brother David, it's been a while back, that whenever I was seeking the Lord, that the Lord spoke these words to me. It's a Korah move. A Korah move. So tonight I want to speak to you about will worship that brings death. Will worship that brings death. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. I love the way the Spirit of God does. Because if it's the Lord that ever shows you or me or any other person anything, it'll always coincide with this right here. Just one principle after another after another. And you'll never have to make what the voice said. You'll never have to make this line up as that. It'll line up already. If it comes from God, because God can't lie. And when I begin to look at this and study this, I'll tell you, I've just been absolutely overwhelmed by it. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Now look, we got two different sources now. from two different tribes. Their motives, their objectives, in one sense of the word, are different, but yet ultimately it'll wind up in the same way. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses. Is this conceivable? Is it even believable that people would do such? It is. Against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now I want you to look at the meekest man on the earth at this time, at his response. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We are indeed grateful, Lord Jesus, that these things have been written for our admonition. We are grateful, Lord God, that there are always people that are willing to be identified and stand with truth, no matter the consequences or the cost. I pray we will be that type of people. If there's anything lacking in our character tonight that would hinder us from standing with the truth, with our soul, our heart, our mind, our strength, show it to us tonight, Lord, that we can get it out of our lives. For truly, we want to be identified with your word. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Father, may our understanding be opened. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. For those of you who know the history and the background of this, you know that Korah was actually a cousin to Moses and Aaron. Now, he was a descendant of Kohath, so he was a Kohathite, one that was privileged to be able to carry the ark, carry the furniture, carry the tabernacle, the tent, and all this. But somehow, Korah feels injured. He feels slighted because he's been given an inferior position compared to Moses and to Aaron. Now, we know that no matter how great a move is, what God is doing, what God has done, there will always be some that will be dissatisfied. They will not be dissatisfied to just necessarily leave and get away from that move. But when they leave, they feel it is their duty to do everything they can to defame, to dishonor, and all that sort of thing, the move that they have been in. Now, if you think that this is kind of, you know, just around the message itself, all you have to do is do a casual search and you'll find out many websites of people who left the Church of Christ, who left the Baptist Church, who left the Methodist Church, who left apostolic churches. And you'll find those who have left the message are doing exactly the same thing that many of those done, which kind of shows you where it comes from. Now, whenever the Reubenites were commanded by God, given to Moses, a place for them to camp near and around the tabernacle, or the place of God. So the Kohathites camped near the Reubenites. Now, it was that God had given them this, and these people had this affinity. So now they have a similar complaint, but it comes from a different origination. Now remember, Reuben was actually the firstborn. He was the one that by birthright should have got a double portion of the inheritance. But because he went into his father's wives and knew them before the time, then that was stripped away from him. The priesthood went to Levi, the double portion going to Joseph, and then to Judah, he received also a portion of the inheritance. And then Reuben becomes only one of the rest of the brothers. Now in this, it's amazing that it went for all of these years before they began to revolt and to really say much about it in a public way. Now is their time. Now is their season. Now here they're going to do this in the name of God. They're going to do this by an approach that's going to seem divine in a way. It's going to seem by the pattern of the word in a way. So you must be very careful now in the way that you look at it, because the majority of the congregation of Israel fell for this teaching. It was not just famous men, it was not just 250, but actually the majority of the people, by the references and the terms that Moses uses to write about this, they actually gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. Now you can imagine that these men must have been very powerful, very persuasive, and they must have had a great ability about them to influence this amount of people. Now, notice in verse 2, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, notice they are emboldened now because once they get a crowd around them, you know, let's say it this way in modern terms. Whenever they first put up their website and Korah decided on a name to call it, and he wasn't really sure, but who knows exactly what Korah would have called it in that day. But so you'll understand in modern terms. Not exactly sure, you know, would anybody stand with him or not. Him, Dason, and Abira, and then on kind of gathered with them. And they begin to talk about their complaints. And they didn't like this. And they didn't like that about the message. And they didn't like the way Moses is doing this. And they sure didn't like the way Aaron was doing that. And it seemed to them that it was a big family deal. Because Moses was the prophet which was in charge of all the whole camp, and it just so happened he said that God told him that his brother Aaron is to get the priesthood. So you can see from where the natural carnal mind would have looked at it, it was totally on the basis of a man. Now they had no scientific proof. There was no proof that God himself had actually told Moses these things. There was not countless witnesses that were there. But Moses, it just so happens that Moses goes up into the mountain by himself. How convenient. So instead of having hundreds and hundreds of witnesses who heard the voice of God thunder this out from Sinai, you will be the prophet and Aaron will be the high priest. But instead, God kept that when there was nobody around but Moses. So they have one man's word for it. Now then, if you attack the credibility of that one man, then it actually annihilates the whole message that you say you believe. So now here they're going to approach it. You know, it's amazing that the flag of rebellion, the flag of rebellion, once it is raised, it will gather all kinds of people. Now, before it becomes a revolt, whenever it's just talking, you know, people are a little scared. They don't know what they should do it or not. But once someone is brave enough to raise a flag of rebellion and a flag of revolt against God's provided way, then you'll always find those that will gather around it. Now, you notice the terms here that the Bible says 250 princes of the assembly that were famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, you know, this is it's an advantage sometimes to be a person of renown in a church or in a move or in an assembly. But any of those people that would have clout, as we would say, or an element of influence, They must always be careful, because they can always be used, whether they're a preacher or whether they're a deacon or a trustee or just a person that everybody in the church likes. They have the ability to give him that renowned part. Now, if you notice, it doesn't say any of these men were gifted to see visions. None of them were called to preach the word. None of them were called to lead, but they were famous. Wonder how they got their fame. Most famous folks in the message get their fame by being identified with a gifted man of God. It doesn't say none of these folks, come on, church, don't get quiet already. It doesn't say none of these men preached, none of them cast out devils, none of them healed the sick, none of them had visions, none of them the word of God came to them, but they were famous. Where did they get their fame? I guarantee they didn't get it down in Egypt. They got their fame somehow by being identified under the new administration of the message of the hour. Let's be honest and true. Many of the preachers in this message that have went off on false doctrine and deceived people, they got their fame whenever they come to this message. Many of them in Baptist or Methodist or Church of God or wherever they were, nobody knew them, but they couldn't preach yourself out of a paper box. But once they come into the message, then they gained an element of renown and an element of fame, and then they took that fame and began to use it for their own glory. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch, 250 princes, so they are people, but notice their position, princes, political. 250 princes, so it is a political move of princes and famous and renowned men. Nothing about the Holy Ghost, nothing about signs, wonders, miracles, and the congregation allowed them to get away with it. Instead of demanding that these men be vindicated by God, and proven by God, and the charges that they were making against this prophet, it was not that Moses had to prove the facts that God had been with them. It was their place to prove it was a lie. I mean, you've only got one man's word for it. It's hard to prove it either way, isn't it? But you see, faith anchors where intellectual stupidity can't take a hold. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a bunch of folks that think they are so smart. And my, they Google God and they Google this and they Google that. God didn't say in the beginning was Google, but in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Men of renown or of esteem or of a high name among the congregation. Now, notice then there are hundreds or sometimes in this case, even thousands that are ready to flock around a standard of revolt. Now, imagine that they probably was overwhelmed as they begin to move. Now, notice here in verse 3. You know, it needs a shrewd, clever, energetic sort of a person that will be the leader. Now, every person, of course, doesn't have to be this, that will follow a move, but you've got to have somebody that will be impressive. You've got to have somebody that seems as if though they know what they're talking about, whether they do or not is another thing, but they've got to at least be able to deceive the simple and the ignorant. And that's what I say has been deceived right now, the simple and the ignorant, not people of character. Not one person that's truly born again of the Spirit of God would ever follow a court of move. Totally impossible. They may have a baptism of the Holy Ghost on their spirit, but they can't be born again. I'm not saying they can't be now. But notice in verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Now they start moving. And no doubt it started out talking. One of them had this thing, you know, spirit got on him. I don't like this and I don't like that. And then he noticed a connection between him and somebody else. And then he spilled over a little bit and started talking about it. And he said, you know what? I've been thinking the same thing. I know this must be the Lord. I know it's the Lord that lets you bring this up. I've really been burdened about this too. We're basing our whole faith
our whole life on this man. This man who says he went up into the Mount of God. God wrote 10 commandments on a table of stone. How do we know this is true? How do we know he didn't get up there with a hammer and a chisel and chisel all that out and tell us all this? He's the one that tells us to do this, and you go there and you do this. And he makes himself a big shot over all the rest of it. I can't stand this one man message stuff. I'll tell you, it's getting all over me. Now it's easy to see. He's done making a way right now. His brother's going to become the high priest. And then his sons will get it after that. Before long, they'll be running the whole program. That's right, brother. Glory to God. I feel it. It's been on my heart. I've been so burdened about this. I'm with you. So they got 250 hits on their website the first week. First few days. Now, of course, this gives it credibility. Numbers. And they are famous men. Men of renown. Don't make no sin. It don't matter if you go back to the Word or not. It don't matter that you're defying God. Almighty God. They weren't just questioning Moses, friends. They weren't just questioning Aaron. They was questioning God's judgment and God's choice. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. So they raised themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much on you. Now they meet together and they go expressing their difference of opinion. I don't like this and I don't like that. And furthermore, you're taking too much on yourself. Now notice how they're presenting it, that Moses is self-appointed. Aaron is self-appointed. You're doing this yourself. Oh my, help us Lord. They imagined that Moses wanted this. I mean, I know the man had a problem, but he wasn't a nut. Can you imagine a man wanting a congregation of 2 to 2.5 million? You'd either be called of God or an absolute idiot one. You're high on dope. I mean, you've overdosed on morphine or something. If you want a church that size, anybody that would want all them problems, he done had all kinds of issues with them. He knows they're stubborn, they're hard-headed, they won't follow the Word. He wanted this. It shows there's something wrong with Korah and them wanting to take his place. My, my, my. Goodness, you take too much on you. Too much on you. The whole congregation are holy. You've separated yourself. Now notice their first attack. You have done this yourself. And you expect us to believe that God showed you these visions and prophecy. We can't even line up the hunting dates when you was out there in Arizona. And we all know you're a murderer. You killed an Egyptian down there in Egypt. So they attack Moses in being controlled, and they attack Aaron in the priesthood, which is, of course, the ministry. Now, many folks, you know, even though this has been thousands of years since then, but many folks still get very upset, unjustly, about spiritual leadership because they think they have been held back somehow. That they should be this and that and that and that in a church. We see it in a church. We see it in politics. We see it in any, even in a natural move. That folks will get jealous and they don't like this and that and the other. They're not being used enough. They're not being sung enough or preached enough or whatever more. And they're all, you know how it is among folk. But if people could only realize the greatest place any of us can have is children of God. Is the place God himself chose for us. If God chose for you to be a doormat at the house of God, you ought to be the happiest doormat in the message. But most folks can't take that kind of place. You understand that many folks, they cannot stand being the second piano player. They cannot stand being the second guitar player, the second organ player. They cannot stand. They've got to be number one. They do not like feeling that they're not number one. And you know what the problem is? Number one. It's within themselves. We have to have assistance. We have to have second organ players and third organ players and fourth piano players and fifth bass players. Praise the Lord. We've got to have them. Thank God for associate ministers that can help us. But every one of these brothers can't start a church. They can't all be the pastor. Come on, children. So they start with a legitimate complaint of carnal humanity. I'm not being used enough. I'm not being used enough. My gift is not being exposed to the people. Nobody calls my name enough. I'm not called to pray. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not that. So Korah begins to talk about it. Give in to it all. You're stationed in a battle. Now their problem is not so much that they're wanting to move in because they're not Kohathites anyway. They're not Levites. But they're so foolish as they go on, they actually want to enter into a position that they're not even ordained to be. But their complaint goes back to their daddy. The founder of our tribe, Reuben, he was booted out unjustly. And now here we are paying for his sin. Yeah, you fathers ought to think about that when you do things wrong. Well, glory. Now what? So they say, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. After all, Moses, you said God told you that all of Israel was supposed to be priests. So here we've got you saying all Israel was going to be priests. Now over here we've got you saying that God changed his mind. And only the Levites are supposed to be priests. How convenient, Moses. I know which side I'd have been on if I lived in number 16. Do you? Now watch, they are saying and reading into this something that is, it is a falsehood. It is absolutely a lie. They are projecting that Moses is saying, me and my family are better than you. Moses never said that. It was not even his idea. You imagine as a man of God that he struggled and struggled with that whenever God told him, make Aaron your brother, the high priest. You imagine, Brother David, he struggled with that knowing how people are and knowing how people's flesh is. He must have said, oh God, no, please don't choose him. It's going to cause me so many problems. It's going to cause so many things because they'll think it's a family tie. But God said, this is my choice. This is not your choice. It's my choice. So Moses said, all right, God, I'll do it. I don't want to do it because, God, you know how people are. But Moses, you do it because it ain't your choice. It's mine. But you see, now it's turning around and the people are looking and say, you lift yourself up above the people of God. You're acting like you're the only holy one. You and your brother and now his sons and now it'll be on their posterity forever. You're lifting yourself. Oh, Israel is holy. Not only that, but the Lord is among the whole congregation. You think you're the only one that can go up on the mountain and get the word of God? Who do you think you are? Come back to tell us who can get married and who can't remarry and who can do this and that and the other. Oh, the church is holy. We've got a Bible. The same one you had when you was a Trinitarian. The same one some of you had when you were sitting under women preachers. The same one you read when you believed tongues was evidence, the Holy Ghost and hell was eternal. You're talking about just that same Bible, right? Brother, sister, we didn't just need a Bible. We need a prophet to unveil that Bible to us. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the congregation is holy. We've got the right to do. We know what we're doing. No, they didn't. They had no idea what they were doing. Lord Jesus, help us. Moses, we want some proof. I've done a Google search on you and a Yahoo search. I can't find no record nowhere where 16 men ever fall off of some bridge somewhere. Have you ever found a historical record where Jesus lived? Friends, don't you understand? Satan has blinded so many of these poor, ignorant people. They think they're bashing the message, but I'll tell you what's fixing to happen. Satan will not stop some of them with the message. His intent is to get them to move over to this. Because they're following the same pattern. Their websites are exactly like infidels, agnostics, and heathens that don't even believe the Bible. They think they're under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But you go to an infidel's website and some of these folks, the dissonance of the message, and you look at them, exact same frame, exact same laying it out, and they think they're led of the Spirit of God with a demonic inspiration. You can't be. This is a favorite argument for people like this. Here I am, such a gifted person, and I'm packing tent poles. Here I am as a leader. I'm famous in the congregation. I'm a man of renown. And what's he got me doing? Packing the sledgehammer. I'll tell you one thing. No person can really be trusted to enter into the tabernacle if he ain't got the right attitude that he'd pack a sledgehammer first. Any preacher that's too big to preach to three is too little to preach to 500. Praise the Lord. Oh, lots of preachers want to come to a church of this size. Yes, sir. They want to spread their wings right here. What about your neighbor? Have you witnessed to him yet? What about those? I couldn't take a young people service. No, that's beneath me. Then you can't preach here then. Because it shows me right there, your attitude ain't right with God. If the Lord Jesus went to one woman at the well, then you and I, my brothers, no matter who we are around the world, if we're too big for one, we are too big for our britches. Right. Now, usually when you find complaining and grumbling among God's people, there is a stated reason and there is a hidden reason. Now, the stated reason is always the political approach. It's the approach of what you want everybody to believe about what you're saying. But actually, the hidden reason is the core behind it. So it's Halloween, actually. It's a false face. So here they come with the stated reason, and they pull this angelic or this little humble. Oh, we're just so concerned about God's people. This message is so bound them up and we want them to be free to go to hell. Free up to paint your face like a Jezebel and bob their hair. That ain't freedom, that's bondage. Now that's the stated reason. But the hidden reason always lays behind. Now notice Korah is not saying anything about himself. Dathan and Abiram is not saying anything about themselves, but what is their sermon consist of? The congregation, the people of the Lord, the people of the Lord. It's not I. That's the stated reason. But the hidden reason is the one behind the false face. You know, you find this same thing in churches. You find it on a deacon board sometimes. One deacon wants something to be run a certain way. But he won't say, I want this and I want that and I want that. He'll say, the deacon board. Or you find a trustee that wants it run his way, certain way. He won't say, I want this and I want that and I want to be in charge. What'll he say? The trustee board wants this and the trustee board wants that. People in the church will say, well, the church wants this and the church wants to know, Brother Donnie, why don't you do this? When did you change your name to church? Because you find out it may be them and their wife and their two children who heard them blab coming back and forth to church. And you ask other members of the church, they don't know nothing about it. Yet they're supposedly representing you. The stated reason and the hidden reason. And you imagine Dathan and Abiram, them famous men, and oh, how they love the people. They're so concerned. This ain't right. This ain't right. He's getting us into bondage. My, here we come, just come out of the land of Egypt. And it ain't been that long that we left Egypt. And he's leading us right back into a cult again. Well, this is worse than Pharaoh. At least we had leeks and cucumbers and melons. And what's he give us? This old angel's food. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine folks complaining about eating angel food? I can. They do here at the church. Oh, my. I tell you what we need. We need to become a democracy in this message. Can't you see what Moses is doing? This is a dictatorship. We thought Pharaoh was bad. This is nothing compared to what this man is doing. We need to start voting about this stuff now. The people need to have more say. It's absolutely amazing, but when you look at this and you really strip it down at the hidden cause, the very thing he's accusing them of doing, Moses and Aaron, is what he wants to do himself. He's making them look lower than dogs, and yet he himself is wanting to do the same thing. The only problem with this whole thing is he's not the top dog. If he was doing it, it's all fine and good, but if he ain't doing it, it ain't fine and good. Notice this in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Now we've got this quote right here, Moses, that you said God told you all of us is supposed to be priests. And that the whole nation was holy. Now you're saying God said Levi was holy. And the priesthood belongs to one family, which just happens to be your family. You see, friends, whether it's a church, whether it's a society, whether it's at the plant where you work, you always got to have structure in giving and receiving orders. That's one of the things that's wrong with our nation to this day. And it certainly got worse in the last few years. The structure of our Constitution, the way that our government was set up, it's not being run that way no more. And everything is falling apart. It's the same way with the church. God ordained that you have divine structure. Now that is not dictatorship at all. And myself, I look at Moses, I look at Paul, I look at Brother Branham, and I look at these men as not being dictators. I look at them standing in a position that God elevated them to. Not a one of them wanted it. Brother Branham said himself, I wish this message was not even mine to bring. Can you imagine a man saying such a thing? I can. Oh, and not the miracles. He didn't say, I wish I couldn't perform miracles. I wish I couldn't pray for the sick. But I wish this message. That's where he caused so much flack at. It was not that he was kind to people and prayed for people and miracles happened. That wasn't so much it. But it was not so much the sign as it was the voice of the sign. I don't just believe the sign. I believe the voice. Glory to God. I don't just follow the sign. I believe the voice that came after the sign. That's what set me free. Praise God. Now notice, you imagine as this is all boiling. Oh my. The selfish desire for greatness and authority without the proper character to be able to handle such a thing. And if we as the people of God would submit ourselves. Now, you think of it in the natural realm. Let's just move beyond preachers and ministry and all that. Let's move it down to, say, the average person that comes to church and loves God. And they look at themselves and, you know what? I barely get by. I barely make a living. Here's the potential for me to go into a business and be able to do this and that and the other. I'd have more money and more this. But you know what? Is that God's will for you? How many folks have we seen get into business and start making all kinds of money, and the first thing you know, church don't mean nothing no more. Honesty don't mean nothing no more. They've got to lie. They've got to cheat brothers. They've got to do this and that and the other. I'd rather be a poor man and be honest than to be a liar and be rich. Maybe I'm crazy. Notice now number 16:4. So here the move comes now. The day's arrived. Moses heard it. he fell upon his face. Now he's not mad. He's not angry. He doesn't get a sword and start killing people. It actually scares him. Not for himself, but for them. The shame, the honor, knowing. Watch him. Watch. Why would he fall on his face? He knows he has favor with God. He's not standing there as a prince. Amen. You know, the Bible even called Moses the king in Jeshurun. Any of y'all know that? The Bible says that? You didn't know what it does. It calls him a king in Jeshurun. So instead of acting like one who said, cut these guys' head off, he acts like Christ. He acts like what? A priest. He doesn't even act like Elisha. He doesn't act like Elijah, the angered prophet. He acts like a priest, so he goes flat upon his face. The story shouldn't have to go any farther. You should be able to tell which one's genuine just from this action right here. Well, of course, by the time many people get to this place, there is no stopping them. The circumstances of aggravation, the lies of rebellion, the stubbornness, the sedition that they have now caused, it doesn't move him from his meekness. It doesn't move him into the realm of anger that he had such a tendency to go into. Isn't it amazing? They're accusing him of being a liar. They're accusing him of being a dictator. They're accusing these fabrications of these voices of God, halos and all this sort of thing. They're accusing him of fabricating all this stuff. And instead of getting angry and mad and getting up the pulpit board, just blasting him right and left, he falls on his face. Amen. Lord Jesus. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company. Let's look at this word together. Edah, congregation, gathering. So here now, Pastor Korah has a congregation out of Moses' congregation. He didn't have the ability to get his own church, so he split Moses' church. Praise the Lord. Now, but the Bible calls them his congregation. So he actually has a following. He's not a gifted man. He's not a gifted man. And yet he has a congregation. 1,232 people click on his website or whatever. These people are on my forum, and every one of them will point their finger in your face in hell. And if they don't repent, they'll be in hell with you. And they themselves will add to your torment by the lies you fabricate. Come on, saints. So these people become Korah's congregation, his church. So now we've got a split to where they are splitting away from the main body and the leadership of the message or the church. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. My offer still stands. For any of you blabbermouth people that are blasting the message and standing against it, I'm still willing to find the meanest demon-possessed people in the world. You go in one room and I'll go in the other. I wouldn't take my computer if I was you, though, or my website. You better have some power with you. Don't give me words. Don't give me words. Show me what your God can do. Show me. Don't just give me your mouth. Give me proof by power. Moses says, I'll not do it. Me and Aaron won't do it. But the Lord will show who's his. Brother Donnie, you saying you're a prophet? Oh, no, I ain't no prophet, but I'm a believer. When they attack this message, this is my homeland. This is my inheritance. This is what my Joshua gave me. Hallelujah! My Joshua, my Holy Ghost gave me this land. And when the devil gets on my land, he is trespassing. And when he blasts my prophet, he is trespassing. And when he says my land is a lie, he is trespassing against my inheritance. Amen. This is my inheritance. So Moses says, we'll let the Lord settle this issue. So all of you dissenters that are against the message, and we're all dumb and ignorant and stupid, and I'm a cult pastor, and all the rest of these message preachers are false prophets and cult pastors, let's let the Lord show who's his. Any of this stuff led anybody to Christ? Any testimonies of miracles where these people are praying for them and devils have been cast out? Come on now, don't get quiet. Friends, don't swallow down this garbage. Demand proof. Demand proof, not words. The devil can use all kinds of words. I want proof. Show me where God is among them. But you see, it's a core move. And the people who follow it will not demand a supernatural manifestation. So who is on the Lord's side among us? You say you're awful bold to make them statements. Yep. I know who my daddy is, and I know who I am. Praise the Lord. I ain't no coward. Oh no. I done faced this devil too long now. I know who my God is. And when I go to casting out devils, the devil don't say to me, Brother Branham, I know, and Paul, I know, who are you? He knows me. He knows me. He's known me for years. He knows what kind of life I live. He knows the supernatural. Come on, don't get quiet on me. He don't only just know me. He knows you as a child of God. He knows you as a genuine believer. Amen. And we don't have to take a back seat to the devil. We don't have to say, well, I'm going to hold my peace. Not me, friend. I'm not going to hold my peace. I'm going to cry out, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the side of the prophet of God? Who is on the side of the message of Malachi 4? Don't come stand with me, but come stand with this word made flesh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Watch this in the Smyrna church age. All over the world are both Pentecostal and fundamental groups. They're organizing the businessmen. They have invaded the pulpit without a call from God. They've styled themselves the fishers of men and the founders of a move of God. And they say the gifted ministry of Ephesians 4:10-13 knew all along these mistakes was in the message. Well, some of us knew all along that he was a man. I'm sorry you're disappointed you found out he wasn't a God. Shouldn't disappoint y'all. Y'all been hearing it for years and years. You ought to be grateful to God you are too. Because I can tell you, there's folks shook all over the world because of all this trash and nonsense. You know why? A lot of it's the preacher's fault. Because they placed Brother Branham to be a God, to be totally infallible, that every word that goes out of his mouth, it says, as thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham never taught us no such stuff. He was a man, but he had thus saith the Lord. Everything he said, he told us that. Whenever I say to you, thus saith the Lord, that's not me saying that, that's him. Come on now. Man, they say the gifted ministry of Ephesians 4:10-13 that God gave the church has failed. So they are taking over. Here we are right in the midst of the fulfillment of prophecy. Call the gainsayings of Korah. So men that are not gifted men, but they are taking over and they're going to straighten out these men that have labored in the word for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And who are they? Men of renown, famous people. They got their fame from where? Being identified under gifted men. Come on, children, sure, I don't have to make it no plainer. My, my. They don't even know they have fulfilled it. They are fulfilling prophecy and don't even know it. They are blindly going on preaching experience for truth. Now here they are preaching and they're not even called. Do you understand what's going on? Yeah, and this is why I warn you over and over again. Those of you that get on Facebook and you try to do all this stuff, I'm hearing it in different parts of the world. Of all the trouble that is caused in churches by people getting on Facebook and trying to straighten this out and straighten that out, making all kinds of sarcastic remarks and trying to deal with stuff in the church. Friend, don't you understand? This is nothing but the devil. It's nothing but Satan. You're not called to handle this word. If you're going to have Facebook, show your pictures of you and your family and your pineapple upside down cake and your nanner pudding and your bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwich. But when it comes to handling this word, you're no more called to handle it on Facebook than you would be in a pulpit. Notice this, may God have pity on them. May their eyes be opened before it's too late. Oh, listen to me. When ability, listen to this. When did prestige of money, social leadership, business ability, or sheer mental prowess ever qualify a man for spiritual leadership? Most of the men of God that ever amounted to nothing in the world were thought they were pretty much dummies and idiots. They couldn't even mind. You imagine Noah standing there that day said, God told me to build an ark. Said, you ain't got no boat building experience. You're a farmer. How would you like to row in a boat? He said, how many of these you built? The first and last. You ever, well, yeah, I built my house, but my windows ain't plumb. My doors ain't square. And you're going to build an ark. God told me to build an ark. Oh, glory. But you're a farmer. You're not even a tradesman. You're not a craftsman. I may not be a craftsman, but I'm going to obey what God said do. But notice, friends, with this type of ability right here, prestige of money, social leadership, business ability, sheer mental prowess, that's what a lot of folks like. That appeals to them. And they hear a man talk and say, wow, man, he ain't nothing like Brother Donnie. Poor feller. Poor little old Kentucky guy. I mean, he don't speak good English. He just, you know, poor guy. I believe he's sincere, but he's pitiful, really. He's really pitiful. You know, I mean, his language and his grammar. And well, my grammar's his dad. Are you talking about my grandma? Poor guy probably don't know what a noun or a pronoun or anything. Well, you've got me there. You're right. I didn't graduate from high school. I don't have any GEDs. I've got a big G-O-D, but I don't have any. I didn't go to the Wesleyan Methodist School or Bob Jones, but I do have a few degrees. I've got a B.A. Born again. I've got an HGF degree. Which Bob Jones, I don't think they give out. Holy Ghost feel. I got a D.C. degree. I didn't get it at Washington, D.C. It's a devil caster outer. Oh, you just didn't know how many degrees I've got. But they're just not recognized by man. You say, I'm not a businessman. I don't have sure ability to do all that sort of thing. But for people who follow that, and they say, oh, my. Ooh. Whoa. Notice this. When did that give any weight to the Word of God? And when in any way materially or human values begin to show as the media? When did Facebook become the media? When did websites, when did businessmen that are backslid become the media to be the purporters of truth? God started out with preachers, he'll end up with preachers. God started out with folks going to church and gathering around the gift, not folks gathering around the website. Jesus didn't say, these signs shall follow them that believe. They know how to make $30,000 a year. They know how to do this. They shall start a website. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Even if they're forced to drink deadly things, it won't harm them. Facts? Let's talk facts. You want facts? Let's see if Jesus calls them believers. Jesus said, if you believe, you cast out devils in my name. They're lepers. Watch this, in wisdom versus faith. Moses and Joshua had faith in the word. The others wanted to dance and strip the women. Korah. Why? By his Egyptian wisdom. Well, glory. Moses didn't want that. Look at them, chorus today, making an easy way, dancing all night parties, women bobbed hair, short dresses, anything, don't make no difference, that's all right, it isn't all right. You look at this last day move of Korah. Is it leading them to holiness? Is it leading them to modesty? Is it leading them? No, many of them women done bobbed their hair, painted their face, wearing bitches. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. Why? Because it's a Korah move. Perfect parallel. My, Korah would have had the same baptism the rest of them did. But what did he want to do? Let the women dance, drink a little wine, have a little time to strip them off and have adultery. Now watch how Brother Branham what catches this about Korah. Korah's Egyptian wisdom will come in the message and try to take captive the message people and lead them back to Egypt, the world. Worldlyism. By wisdom, oh God, don't care if you wear makeup, mind. What difference does it make? God don't care if a woman have on a dress or a tent or a pair of breeches or whatever. God don't care. Your God may not, but mine does. I agree. The God of this evil age don't care. He likes you. But the God of eternity says, separate yourself. Come out from among them and be separate, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Oh my. Woo. Have a little time, strip them off and have adultery. You know the Bible said they did that. They took those women and stripped the clothes and made them dance and things like that. Moses became angry with them. You remember the time? Why? They had Dr. Korah along. Ooh. That had wisdom. He said, I'll take you back to Egypt. How is it that folks can embrace this truth? Come out of Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, whatever more. Be free from all those things. Spend years in the wilderness. In this wilderness journey. And then a Korah raise up. And they start following them. Right back to Egypt again. And they go to looking like the Egyptians. Acting like them. Dressing like them. Which means they're out from under the token. No Egyptians have the token applied. Can I go a little farther? Oh God. That's where they would have went to. But Brother Moses, when he come down, it was different. Him and Joshua stayed with that word. God gave a promise, they stayed with it. Others wanted to dance and strip the clothes from them by Korah's wisdom. They was all baptized in one. That's how they'd been baptized into the cloud and into the sea. Can't you see Korah taking them back? This Korah move, taking them back. What's this again? Why they had to be shepherds? Notice they complained about God's provided way. Was the reason they died. Listen carefully. They complained about God's provided way. That's the reason they died. Now closely, don't miss these last few remarks. They complained. What made them die in the wilderness? They complained about God's provided way by a one-man message. Woo! By a one-man message, a prophet, the leadership of one man. Now notice, Brother Brown didn't say one man preached it, but one man brought it. Come on now. Let's not come out of one side of the ditch and go into another. Oh yes, sir. When Moses brought it out, there was men, there was Levites, there was all these men that were set to go among the people and teach what he said. But this is what they really hated. They hated a one-man leadership that they had to take his word for all these things. And they had no proof. They had no science magazine, no life magazine, no doctor to be able to shoot up in the sky and prove that it was a sonic boom. It was a boom, all right, brother. It was a blast, all right. It was a blast from heaven. Tell me when God ever used a group to lead. You won't find in the Bible. One man. The word came to Moses. Korah, we all know, he got himself together and complained about God not being just to do a thing like that. To make one man with the message. I love a one man message. With that one man, you've got enough human part mixed into it the way it is. Can you imagine if we had 70 messengers? 70 different church age books would have to read, and 70 different sets of seals would have to listen to, and 70 different sermons on why I'm against organized religion, and 70. God knows what he's doing. I said, God knows what he's doing. Woo! But what's amazing is, Korah complained about this one man message. But this is the hidden reason. He's mad because he's not that one man. Praise the Lord. That's the way folks are with the office of a pastor. Some folks just can't, they just can't handle the idea of one man being the leader. Of course, unless they was that one man. Or one woman. Oh my. He said, we're all holy. Why can't we have a denomination? Why can't we set up this and do that and do that? God told Moses, separate yourself from him. I've had enough of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, children. God will let this stuff go, and he'll let it go, and he'll let it go. He won't move immediately. It must be a tool to deceive by. He'll let it go for a while. But when the wrath and the judgment of God goes to striking on these people, I wouldn't want to be in the same neighborhood. Because there has been more supernatural vindication in this man's ministry, Brother Branham, than was ever written in the Bible of any other man. Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, Zechariah, name whoever you want. I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus now. I'm talking about men on the earth. There's more done. He even said it himself. He said, I've seen the Lord Jesus do more in my own ministry than he did when he was on the earth. He said, I didn't say me. I said him. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus wanted to do more in Brother Branham's ministry than he did in his own in the first four good books of the New Testament. It was his choice to do it that way. Well, if he chose to do it, who are we to argue with? Him. If he chose to display himself in such a wonderful way, brother David, why would we argue with God and say this ain't right? You're going to tell him it ain't right? Not me. Oh my. God told Moses, separate yourself from him. I had enough of him. Remember, Jude speaks the same thing. In the last days, they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. We all know what happened to Korah. And the rest that questioned God's word and God's wisdom of that one man leadership, every one of them perished. Paradox no close. But you notice, just before they entered the promised land, listen to this parallel now. Just before they entered the promised land, the differences that rose up among them. And one of the great things was Korah. Do you understand why this is so significant to us? This is just before they went into the land. Glory to God! But you know what's amazing? I was going to hold it back till in the morning, but I can't. It's just so good I got to share it with you. Korah's mean and evil as he was. Yet Korah's own sons was not identified with him in this move. Glory to God. Their daddy was wrong and their daddy led a wrong move. You ever read the book of Psalms? Whenever David addressed a psalm to the sons of Korah. Oh, hallelujah. You imagine they'd go home and he'd throw off and talk about Moses this and Moses that. And them boys would get, I can't stand it. I can't stand it, daddy. But the Bible tells us, we'll go ahead and read it in the morning. It's a privilege to you. But the Bible says the sons of Korah died not when Korah died. Amen. It shows me, brother, sister, right in the middle of rebellion, out of the same family, out of the same household, that God will have people that say, daddy, I love you, but I'm staying with this word. Mama, I love you, but I'm staying with this word. I love you, brother. I love you, sister, but I'm staying with this word. Hallelujah. I'm not leaving this word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To the sons of Korah, Psalm 84. To the sons of Korah. This other man that we read his name when we first began reading. His name was On, O-N. But in the Hebrew, it's one, O-N-E. This man also got corrected from the rebellion. Because when Dathan and Abiram and their children and all they had died, when Korah and the 250 died, one was still alive. I'm one of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I've been slothful. I've been disobedient, Brother David. I fell short of the glory of God. But brother, when I see I'm wrong, I want to repent. When I see I'm wrong, I want to come back. Praise God. I'm not going to be one of them that the earth is going to swallow. I mean, no, sir. I'm going to be one of them that will make my wrongs right and stand up for what is true. And when the earth swallows up, you won't find me there. When the fire comes out of heaven and burns them up, you won't find me there. But you'll find me standing over there with the sons of Korah, standing over there with the prophet of God, and say, I'm on your side. I'm on your side, Moses. Oh, glory. Brother, let it come. Let's sing this together. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the Lord's side at Happy Valley? Who's on the Lord's side tonight? Not on my side, not on your side, but the Lord's side. Let me be the one. Let me be the son of Korah, whoever, whatever you want to identify yourself as far as a believer. But let me stand for this word. And this Korah move. And this will worship. Which leads to death. Which puts laity on the same level as prophets. Laity on the same level as preachers. We all understand the same. We don't need preachers no more. Get rid of all of them. We don't need them. No, we're a bunch of deceivers. Don't you understand where it comes from? It's a Korah move. Whether or not you like it, friends, I know most of you do. You're always going to need a pastor. I don't care how long you've been in the message. You're not gifted to be able to get into the Word. Spend your lifetime. Spend months, if you will. I'll give you the same scriptures that I've read. You show me what you come up with in a week's time, and I'll show you what I come up with. Why? Because of me? No, it's not because of me. It's because God endowed me with the gift. Same with the rest of these other brothers. You read it over and over and over again. You won't get it. You're not supposed to. It's designed that way. Sheep have no problem with that. It's just the goats. Roller! You imagine in the evening when the shadows go to setting,
as the Eastern Shepherd. Many of them still do. That have a rock place around or a place of thorns or thickets. When the shadow started coming over the hills, they said, moving their sheep along. Why? The evening shadows. The sun is going down. The Laodicea darkness is moving on the earth. He wants to have them where he can watch over them. So he'll take them. You'll put all them sheep in. Make sure they're fed, watered, bedded down good. Once all them sheep are where they need to be, then he'll lay himself across the door. The opening. And the shepherd becomes the door of the sheepfold. So if a lion gets one of them sheep, he's got to come through that shepherd first. Amen. Now God loved you so much, he gave you two shepherds. He gave you the great bishop and shepherd of your souls. And then he gave you an under shepherd, the pastor. And many of you had different ones, men of God, this, you know, different times in your life. And God did that. And spiritually, he's the bishop of our souls and watches over us. Then God gives us men that are gifted. They're gifted to lay in front of the gate. How come a sheep don't lay in front of the gate? He's not gifted. He wouldn't know what to do. A sheep wouldn't know what to do. Give him a slingshot. He might hit himself with it. He wouldn't know what to do. He'd hit the shepherd and knock him out. A sheep don't know what to do. When are you ever going to grasp in your mind? You're not gifted to handle the word like a preacher. You're not gifted. Witness, sure, testify. But keep them boundaries before you all the time. I am a sheep. I don't have the ability to argue with these shrewd people. That's not who I am. I cannot argue a goat. I cannot argue a denominational theologian. I am a... I'm proud to be one. Proud to be one. Not embarrassed, not humiliated. I'm proud. Praise God. Children, I see the shadows moving down. I'm trying to get you in. I'm trying to get you over here. Hurry, hurry. These evil things, these wicked things, there's demons, there's spirits, there's things out there. Could I try to explain to you? It wouldn't do any good. What if I had a sheep standing here beside me tonight and he was standing this tall? I'm standing up and he's standing up. Could he see the people in the back? Why? He don't have the ability to raise up high enough to see past these people right here. So God sets a watchman in the tower and he shows him and he hears things and he speaks to him. Why? For your benefit. Not to belittle you or be mean to you, nothing like that, because he loves you. Praise God. You imagine Moses, the shepherd. Whenever Moses sees this going on, maybe the Lord showed him a vision, we don't know. But when he sees this going on, his heart is broken, he's scared for them, and he falls down before them. Displaying the real spirit. We'll get to it in the morning, Lord. When the congregation, actually the majority of the congregation, joined in this revolt. And they gathered against Moses. And God said, Moses, step back and I'll kill every one of them. The majority of the children of Israel joined in that move. But Moses and Aaron, the prophet and the ministry, fell on their face again. Oh God, the creator of spirits, don't do this. Don't do this, God. Would you punish all of your children for one man's sin? They were ignorant. They got caught up in it. They didn't mean it. Don't cut them off, Lord. Can you imagine, friends, the two people on the way to a mess? They're walking down. They're sad. They're depressed. They're just confused. This man joins them. Where y'all going? Said to a mess. Said, how come y'all looking so sad? What the things that just happened? He said, what things? Acted like he didn't know. Sometimes he wants to see where you are. He wants you to tell him. And they told him. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. We thought he was a prophet, but now we're not sure. Don't mark all these people off as lost. Only God knows who crosses the line. You and I don't. there might be some Ons that can come back. There might be some sons of Korah that's to return. Praise the Lord. Listen, this means you leave the judging part alone. Let's just be what God's made us to be. Hallelujah. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the side of this word? This truth. Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is being revealed. As it was in the days of Sodom. Thus shall it be. Brother Ben didn't make them scriptures. God made them. Jesus himself spoke that Elijah would come. How come the scribes say Elias must come? I say unto you, Elias has already come. Speaking of John the Baptist. But Elias shall come, future tense, shall come and restore all things. And that was not John the Baptist, because he was not a restoration prophet. Jesus spoke of this ministry. Oh, so I don't know that it's Brother Branham. Well, you find out what man it was. That's the way I did when I first came to the message. Brother Morris Bryant came to the Pentecostal church I was pastor in Kentucky. He took the liberty to introduce to my church, Brother Branham was a prophet. It made me madder than a hornet. So I went home and I thought, I didn't know about Brother Branham. But as far as getting up publicly and saying he was a prophet of the age, are you kidding me? My brother back here done been listening to tapes and my wife. But I was a proud Pentecostal. Glory to God. God had to give it to me himself. I was against a one-man message. I was. No question about it. That's why I can rejoice with one. So I got in the Bible. And I started reading them scripture. Malachi 4 and Luke 7 Revelation. My Lord, it's the truth. I went to studying to prove him wrong and studied myself right in. Then I said, all right, well, God's promise is going to be a man. Okay, there's going to be a man. I've got that in my mind. But who was the man? So I thought, I'm going to study Oral Roberts. I'm going to study Billy Graham. I'm going to study every major man. I got books, encyclopedias, history. I got... And then I started listening to a few tapes. I was convinced. I was convinced. And I don't want to say that I just was. I still is. Y'all still is. Y'all still is convinced. Sing it for us, Brother Louis. You love him, saints. You love him with all your hearts. Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful?
Thank you, Lord. Oh, tell me who is on the Lord's side among you.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
Help us join.
Who joined in this fight?
Is on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got a baptism tonight. If they'll come prepare for that, let's sing this together. Don't just let it be a song. Let it be your testimony. In case the devil's out of hell ain't heard you say it in a week or two, kind of where you stand, let them know. Amen. Devil, just in case you had a headache and you're under the weather a little and you're not sure, I just want to let you know I'm still on the Lord's side. What about it, saints? You want to let the devil know? I don't want just Jesus to know. I want hell to know. Praise God. Oh, tell me who is on the Lord's side among you. Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Now to God is granted all the praise and glory. Son on Calvary to die. Oh, that same Son gave His life on old Golgotha. Now tell me who is on the Lord's side tonight. Who is on the Lord's side?
Praise the Lord. This is Sister Brianna Newsom, and she's been talking with her dad. I talked with her just a little bit before service. She's been talking to her mom and dad, special dad, and said that she wanted to spend eternity with Jesus. Amen. And talking about, you know, three or four times she wanted to get baptized. So I talked to her a little bit. She's repented and talked about what really repentance is just a little bit in a very simple form. But you know, parents, listen to this. Just heard Brother Bam say just a couple of days ago. He said, God gave every man, every human being, a holy thirst, a thirst for Him. But you see, God gave that to everybody. But see, all depends on how you train a child, whether or not God will get to them first or Hollywood will get to them first. God put it in everybody. But who's going to get to them first? That's why the Bible says train up a child in the way it should go. That's why Brother Van said a child has 95% better chance of being saved if they're raised in a Christian home. So we're thankful for that. So she wants to come, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Jesus to come into her heart. And we're just so thankful for that. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, dear God, we're happy to be in the house of God, to hear the word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for this little child to come upon you. And Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Forbid them not. We ask you, Lord Jesus, as we baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, an outward show of an inward work. She desires Jesus to come into her heart. She doesn't want to go the way of the world. She's been taught in her home. She desires the things of God, holy, heavenly things. And I pray, God, as I baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire you to baptize her with the Holy Ghost. Lead her and guide her into truth, Lord, and may her little tender heart, may it stay humble and kind and tender before you, and not let the enemy get a hold of her before God has a real chance to seal her into the kingdom. God, would you grant this as we baptize her tonight? We love you. We thank you for this great, grand privilege in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brianna, we baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's sing together the meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air. And that sweet, sweet by and by. You know this old song. You know the verses by memory. But I want to point out to you tonight in these verses, Korah is not mentioned of being there. Dathan, Abiram, those people who rebelled, 250 princes that were famous in the congregation. We'll look at it in the morning. A holy fire come out from the presence of God and consumed them in a moment. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and Abiram, their children. Everything that appertained unto them.
That's right.
The world, the earth swallowed them up.
Yes.
They won't be there at that meeting. Mm. That's not who my type is.
That's right.
Korah don't type me.
That's right.
One of his boys might, but not Korah. Abiram ain't my type. One maybe, but praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, you got to find yourself somewhere.
That's right.
Ain't that true?
Yes.
Let's sing it together. Well, you've heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You've heard of fearless David and his sling. You've all heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the whale. You often there are many, many others in the Bible. I should like to meet them all. I do declare, oh glory, by and by the Lord will surely let us meet him. What a setting. At that meeting, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, and that sweet, sweet by and by.
I'm going to meet you all there in that home. Beyond the sky, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, to be glorious, Lord, I do declare. And God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. Sweet, sweet, by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Some singing the meeting in the air. Many things will be there missing in that meeting. For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to hear the call. Heard by mortal ear to be glorious, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Hallelujah. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Come back to camp meeting in the morning. We'll do it all over again. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, to be glorious. Lord, I do declare, God's own Son, He'll be the leading one at the meeting. Yeah.